tell you it's a football Friday? Did we tell you this is CBD, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura? And you know what we do on this show. Every day we bring in, we call him the third part of this band. He is Gerard Cherry. How you doing, Gerard?
I am doing well, Vic. How are you guys doing?
Outstanding as we get ready for the bye week. Are you doing anything special during this bye?
No, Vic, I had plans and desires to be somewhere where there's palm trees and white sand and crystal blue water.
Yeah.
But I got to settle for Lake Erie water, and I'll just deal with that.
That'll be all right. It's water. Water. At least you're by water. That's
the most important. I'm trying to figure out some way to make it to Castaway Bay. And like I said, even if it has to be fake palm trees and a fake wave pool, that sounds good and better than anything. So anything not happening. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to just a break. But at the same time, man, I'm going to miss it this weekend, especially with the momentum that the team was carrying or had coming off of the win against the Ravens. Because when you beat a team that you haven't beaten since 2007, if that doesn't fire you up for the following week to think that, hey, you have something going here, I don't know what will.
Gerard, you talked about that. We just talked to Pete Prisco, and he thinks the Browns are building something special and do have a chance to go after these Cincinnati Bengals when they return. He does think the Bengals still have a lot of weapons and a lot of firepower, but it was interesting to hear him say he thinks sometimes they get too caught up in running the ball with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and not utilizing their other weapons. That would be a good thing. I'd like them to keep using Ben Jarvis Green Ellis against the Browns, who have a great run defense.
Yeah, please use the law firm and use Giovanni while you're at it as well, and force Andy Dalton to beat you. I know he has a great supporting cast around him, but I'm still of the opinion, even though he was the player of the month for last month, that he has not arrived yet. So please go that route, because I think the Browns match up obviously well with the Cincinnati Bengals. Now the question is, because a lot of people keep saying, well, they didn't have their secondary, but if you can get that same effort that you got from Greg Little and Devon Best to couple that with Jordan Cameron's abilities and Josh Gordon's, then what is that going to do?
And by the way, they still won't have Leon Hall. He's going to be out for this game as well. He's done for the year.
So there you have it.
Hey, Gerard, I know you're a here-and-now kind of guy. You take a very player-oriented perspective, as you would as being a former player, to say it's all about, you know, winning and doing the best you can and rest the future be damned, draft be damned, because that's not a player's concern. But you also are frequently on the air on this station. You host the show, co-host the show with Bruce Hooley. That'll follow this, by the way, and encourage everybody to hang around for that. But every day you're in touch and interacting with fans who walk that line of saying, hey, we want the draft pick. We want the ability to get that quarterback that this team needs to have for the long term. Pete Prisco touched on this, and he says in his discussions with the Browns fans he's spoken with, they walk that fine line of saying, yeah, it would be great to finish this thing out and maybe even have a 500 season or better than that, depending on what the remaining games bring. But you're also doing that at the expense of getting a good pick or a good enough pick to get the quarterback. How do you view that conundrum?
I view it like this, Vic and Nathan. The way I see it, if you're 8-8, 7-9, yes, you're in the middle of the pack, middle of the road situation, far as your draft prospects, and you can't get the what's perceived as a higher caliber of talent. But here's the thing. If your team is 3-13, 4-12, no one guy is going to rectify that situation, especially at the quarterback's position. He's going to need to be surrounded by guys that know what they're doing, know how to play the game, are accustomed to winning and can win and have a culture in place that facilitates winning. So when he does step in there, he's not asked right off the bat to lead the team, because he's coming to something he's not that aware of outside of Andrew Luck. And I don't think we have that guy in this year's draft. You're going to be hard placed to find a guy who can come to a 3-13 team, 1-15 team, and change things around. So yes, it's a catch-22 situation to a large degree, but I'm always going to err to the side of winning, because winning makes guys play beyond themselves. Losing, that can indoctrinate you and make you become a loser, and you don't want to be that when you have a losing mentality, because that is the hardest thing any coach will tell you, any player will tell you, to clear out of your locker room is a losing mentality. Because once it's there, no draft pick is going to save you from it. It takes a whole culture, and it doesn't go away overnight.
Right. I think Cam Newton found that out very much the hard way in Carolina, where it was a guy who had won at every level, came in there, thought it was going to be that easy, and couldn't get over the hump. And it's taken them a few years to even get to a winning record at any point in the season with Cam Newton as their quarterback. So I think you're right. And that was, you know, that's one of the points I was making. I think this team needs their – if there isn't that quarterback, and frankly, they don't have, even if they lost the rest of their games, they don't have a shot at that quarterback anyway. He's going to Jacksonville.
Right. Right. I'm with Nathan 100% on this. I think it's about, I call it the profile, whatever you want to say of your image, what you are, what you feel, what you're projecting, and it's to everyone. I mean, the fan base, obviously, especially, but you're just the way you're going to connect with players who are on your team and players who are coming to your team, and something to sell there. I know it's all about money in the free agent market first and foremost. That's probably the top three things on any player's potential player's list of coming to your team in free agency. But you also want to show them promise. And I think the stronger finish will do that. And as Nathan said, you're not getting quarterbacks one and two. Those guys are going to Jacksonville and Tampa very likely. But I think a strong finish, and you can still get what you need. So. Anyway, all right, Gerard, thank you. Julian Gerard is coming up right after this show. We want to thank, of course, Pete Prisco for being part of the show, and what he contributed was tremendous to hear from him. Joe Thomas and Jameer Howerton, thank you. Michael Regai, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Megan Rock, who's been tweeting throughout the show, and she's going to be doing the Browns Wrap, the Daily Browns Wrap, right afterward. That'll be posted on clevelandbrowns.com. Dave DiNatale, the birthday boy.
Thank you, guys.
Producer, thank you, man, for his great stuff. And that's about it. So for Nathan Zagura, I'm Vic Carucci. Enjoy your work, your weekend, and your, if it's your work end, too, enjoy the work that you're doing then. Otherwise, we'll see you on Monday in Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Happy Bye birthday, week. Dino.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.